Let me go ahead and just jump into my Right Side Way monologue, the opening monologue for the show. And I'll start by just saying, it's never a good idea for those in positions of power and authority to forget that they are supposed to be public servants. Now, granted, I've seen firsthand when people would question something in Montgomery, citing so-called facts that I just knew were true. And I knew they weren't true because I was there. That happens. It's why public officials ought to ensure they maintain communication with those they serve to try and clear up misconceptions. Honestly, they use good judgment and a sense of decorum. It doesn't really happen that often. But lately, I've seen a lot of the opposite. Now, I'll be honest with you. I know that political life can be a heady experience. It can. I ran for office myself with the intent to go to Montgomery and do all I could to make a difference for my state and my district. I knew it was a big deal to serve in the state Senate, but when it really hit me as to the gravity of what I was doing was the day I even first walked out on the floor of the state Senate chamber and I found a desk there with my nameplate on it. And it really set in at that particular point that I was in a special position with a great deal of weight and responsibility. Now, I wouldn't take anything for my time in the legislature. But along with one-third of the overall members, House and Senate, I chose not to run again in 2018. My calling there was complete. But while I was there, as time went on, I began to recognize that there were two types of people with whom I served. There were those who saw it as service that they would render for such a time as they were allotted by God and the voters. But there were also those for whom public life became their actual identity. I mean, it became less of what they did and more of who they were. And when that happens, when the position becomes the person instead of the person filling the position, well, that's when people get left behind. The voters get left behind. That's when a sense of entitlement to the job and an indifference to the people for whom the job was intended to serve find themselves on the outside looking in at the people who have stopped being public servants and have instead become mere public officials. It's that very attitude that elicited the famous line that is attributed to Marie Antoinette when she said, "Let them eat cake." You've likely heard it before. The princess, upon being told that the people had no bread, uttered the callous and indifferent phrase, "Let them eat cake." The actual French word in the original utterance was brioche, which was a bread enriched with eggs and butter and considered to be a luxury food. I mean, it's not known if the statement indicated a frivolous disregard for starving citizens or a neglectful and indifferent understanding of their actual situation, but in any event, it was a clear indication that the princess had lost complete sight of those whom she allegedly represented and served. And soon after that, we had the French Revolution. How about that? Look, people notice when their leaders lose sight of where they came from. Every leader in Montgomery or D.C. or in any city hall, they all put their pants on one leg at a time. They're just like you and me. They're not special. They all came into the world with a learning curve like everybody else. And in a democracy, in a society like ours governed by those who are elected, we take notice even more when those in positions of elected office effectively just lose sight of the realities of life outside the walls of their office. And we care. And we should. We don't not want them to have vacations. We don't not want them to see their grandkids or take a day to themselves or prosper or have a good retirement. But when we elect people to office and then begin to notice they've lost sight of their mandate and the office becomes so much of their identity that they exhibit just pure callousness and indifference, well, then it breeds resentment. I tell you what, I'm not a fan of everything that George W. Bush did while he's in office, right? He made some policy decisions that I could do without. But I will never forget something, though, that seemed to me to set a positive example of someone who knew why he was there and who he served. You see, Bush, George W., he was an avid golfer. But in the early days of the global war on terror, when the U.S. troops began to deploy to foreign lands, President Bush stopped playing golf. I read a quote from him. He said in his own words when he was questioned about it, he said, "I don't want some mom whose son may have recently died to see the commander-in-chief playing golf. I feel I owe it to the families to be as in solidarity as best I can with them, and I think playing golf during a war just sends the wrong signal." Wow. Critics tried to take issue with him, but he stood by it. And I, for one, I saw it and I appreciated it, as my family had to wait through the times that I was deployed early in the war. Now, you contrast that, though, with several recent indications that show just the opposite from elected or appointed officials. You may recall a few years ago, when the supply chain disruptions were so pronounced and the ports of California had ships stacked up 100 deep, unable to be offloaded, that on this show I asked the question at the time, where's the Secretary of Transportation? Where's Pete Buttigieg? And I found out soon thereafter that during that heightened state of transportation tension when dock workers and port authorities and trucking companies were all overwhelmed, that our brand new Secretary of Transportation had taken 2 months of paternity leave. Paternity leave. 2 months. Why? Because he and his partner had adopted a child. I guess it takes a long time to learn how to change a diaper. Did he learn anything about criticism from his absence? Apparently not. Because it wasn't so long after that that we learned that things related to the Secretary of Transportation's job during the height of a very tense negotiation on potential railroad strikes were being left unanswered. A strike that experts say would have cost up to $2 billion a day in a hit to the U.S. economy. A strike that ultimately, though, got beyond the capabilities of the executive branch to even resolve, and so it had to be dealt with by congressional action. A strike whose negotiations should have had the visible fingerprints of Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, but it turns out that he and his partner were on a 2-week trip to Portugal for a vacation. Portugal. Look, I dare say the vast majority of the U.S. citizens can't even go on vacation in Biden's economy, much less for 2 weeks to Portugal, and at the height of a critical negotiation that affected the entire economy. So, look, it's callously indifferent to the plight of those that he's supposed to serve, but we see it in others. I mean, we see John Kerry flying on his personal jet to Iceland to receive an award for all things of climate leadership. Climate leadership in which he has successfully lectured the rest of us not to fly. We see it in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez accepting $30,000 tickets to the Met Gala in New York and going there wearing an expensive gown emblazoned with the phrase, "Tax the rich." I mean, who does she think she was hobnobbing with that night? We see it in Nancy Pelosi railing against the pandemic of the unvaccinated during the height of COVID and a willingness to shut down society and yet being caught on camera having her hair done in a salon that was supposed to be closed. But perhaps one of the most egregious moments of out-of-touch haughtiness that I've seen in years showed up yesterday in my newsfeed. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota has just been tapped to be the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats. And she and Kamala Harris make up what may be the most progressively liberal socialist ticket ever put up by a major party. So the scrutiny has begun. Stories abound about Governor Walz going soft on BLM rioters in his state during the times of the riots in 2020. He refused to call in the National Guard to quell the unrest. In his own words, he felt the protesters needed space to express their outrage. Whatever. He sided with criminal elements, and whole portions of his state went up in flames and days of violence and mayhem. But, to add to the fray, a video emerged yesterday that everyone needs to see. I'm probably going to play the audio for it here in a minute. Tim Walz's wife, as First Lady of Minnesota, Gwen Walz, she was interviewed back in 2020. She was asked about that time of violent rioting, and she actually said, "I could smell the burning tires. That was a very real thing. And I kept the windows open as long as I could because I felt that was such a touchstone of what was happening." What? The First Lady of the state just basically said that she chose to smell the burning of her state because it gave validity to the moment they were in. "Let them eat cake," she says. As 2 innocent people died, 600 were arrested, and $500 million in damage was done to over 1,500 properties just in Minneapolis-St. Paul alone. The second most destructive period of rioting in any community in the history of the U.S. She ate cake and smelled the moment outside the secure gates of the governor's well-guarded residence. Well, let them eat cake, they say. It's a dangerous mindset. It only comes when they lose touch with their people and when the job becomes their identity. The lofty positions of leadership in our society are supposed to be special. They should be. But the shine comes off that apple when those holding the positions forget that they don't own the positions. And when the position actually owns them. Let them eat cake. That's a dangerous mindset from which no good can come. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. Now listen, that's the lady who wants to be the second lady of the United States, who left the windows open so she could smell the burning of the riots because it was a touchstone moment for her. Gag me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.